Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is November 2, 2023, it is Bull 19, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Who at My Door is Standing? Who at My Door is Standing?
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, interested in demanding, is it a voice I hear? Sweetly the towns are falling, no band at the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Joshua, thou not weary, waiting so long for me. Sweetly the towns are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, even I hope and wide. Though he rebukes and chastens, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Yeshua our righteousness. Text of address by the V.T. Holler. April 24, 1948. Our text is found in Jeremiah 23, beginning with the 5th chapter, down to the 9th inclusive. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh. I said to Yahshua, well, let's just go ahead with the Father. I said to Yahweh that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. So this will be the Father talking. He's going to raise his son up unto David. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Here is a prophecy of the first advent of the Yahshua, the righteous branch, who is to execute judgment and justice in the earth. And we are that righteous branch, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver. Yahshua is sitting at the head of it. He has appointed, and he is a part of the leadership of this branch. Because he actually represents the branch. So Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Yahshua or righteousness. In his days, that is in the days the righteous branch is raised, in the days of Yahshua and the and a typical apostolic era. I put the word apostolic in the place of the word Christian because that's what we're in now. In the 12th parabolic hour, what we're in now, that means we're in the antitypical apostolic era. We're not in the anti-Christian era anymore. The anti-Christian era began at Antioch when the disciples were first called the Christian. They accepted it, they liked it because they lost their identity that way as a Jew, and so that anti-Christianity stood up until Verlus of Gilead's Center turned at Texas 2002, when he came to his end, brought Gilead Center to his end. That also ended the identity of the Christians today, what they call Christian. So we are now called antitypical apostolics. Plainly then, someday, in the antitypical apostolic period, inspiration makes known Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely on the earth. For this promise, therefore, is made not unto the unbelieving Jews, but unto the believing antitypical apostolic as well. For those who have made the Yeshua's righteousness their own. It means that they're following all the sanctuary system, the feast days, the daily. They put on the robe of righteousness of the Yeshua. Nevertheless, these antitypical apostolics, we are here told, are the descendants of both Judah and Israel, who as a result of the dispersion, that's of 10 tribes Israel in 721 B.C., and the 2 tribes Judah, and the 605 B.C., and also in the joining of the antitypical apostolic church, have through the centuries lost, oh no, those that had joined the Christian church after they were named Christians at Antioch, which the pagans, is a, not the pagans, but the Greek Orthodox, is the one that named them Christians. And they weren't even in charge of the kingdom, but they took it upon themselves to rename the apostolic disciples, and rename them Christian. And the word Christian has been ever since. Have through the centuries lost their racial identity. For the Christian church, therefore, according unto the scriptures, is in the main made up of the descendants of Jacob, whose seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude. Okay. So let's read that again. For the antitypical apostolic congregation of the house of David, and it also has the title of the Kingdom of Heaven, that the prophecy of Daniel 2:44 and 45 attaches to this. Therefore, according unto the scriptures, is in the man made up of the descendants of Jacob, whose seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude. So, folks, we're looking at just the beginning. We look at our first convert, and that's going to go into a great multitude of as numerous as the sand of the sea. Okay. They are to call Yeshua the Yeshua our righteousness. They will clearly see that the unrighteousness is but the filthy rags, and will fully make thy truth righteousness their own. Otherwise they could not rightly call him the Yeshua of righteousness. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Therefore behold, the days come, saith Yeshua, that they shall no more say the Yeshua of living, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yeshua liveth was brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. I forgot to mention, this is two timely greetings number 35. After having come unto the great gathering, the day of the antithetical Christian period, for the hearing of the deliverance from all countries unto the second antithetical exodus, Isaiah 11:11. Naturally, they will not say, Yeshua liveth that brought us up out of Egypt or out of the Babylon, but the Yeshua liveth that brought us up out of all the countries whether we had whether he had driven us. For they gave him the credit for their dispersion and for their gathering, and also for the dwelling safety in their own land. These, you see, are not the unbelieving Jews, but thoroughly converted antitypical apostolic believers. They shall inhabit the land. They shall inhabit the land. That's what's going on over in Israel today. They've got war like they have ever had. They're cleaning out the land. They're cleaning out the wicked from all the around Israel. Clean them out of their borders. That's what's going on. No fear and no killing among Yahweh's people. No guns fired and no bombs dropped on them. For the people shall dwell safely. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. For I, saith Yeshua, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined unto the Yeshua in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Yeshua of the host, that's the Son, hath sent me unto thee, Zechariah 2:5-11. For the important thing right now is for the finding out what the Yeshua's righteousness is and how to make it our own righteousness, so that we may have the right unto the kingdom. Or it's that, so that we may have a right for the entering into the kingdom. He said, for the Yeshua, however, first desires to know what we have against him. Micah 6:3-5. O my people, what have I done? Under thee, wherein have I read thee, testify against me. For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, O my people. Remember now what Balak, king of Moab, committed, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that we may know the righteousness of the Yeshua. Since we cannot think of anything that we might have against the Yeshua, we had better find out what Balaam's answer unto Balak was, so that we learn what the righteousness of the Yeshua is and how to make it our own. Let us therefore turn unto the book of the Numbers, Numbers 23:16-17. And the Yeshua met Balaam and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came unto him, when he came to Balak, behold, he stood by the burnt offering, and the princes of the Moab with him, and Balak said unto him, What hath the Yahshua spoken? Or what hath the Yahweh the Father spoken? Numbers 23:18-19. And he took up his parable and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor, for the Yahweh is not a man, that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall it not be do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? For the Yeshua's righteousness, you see, is his integrity, his sure promises, his might to perform. For he guarantees his promises. They never fail. To have the righteousness of the Yahshua, therefore, is to have his integrity and faithfulness, and these we can never have so long as we mistrust him. Never so long as we doubt his word. For the doubt is nothing short of calling him a liar. To doubt is the greatest offense one can commit. No one can doubt the Yahweh and still receive his blessings and promises. For to have the righteousness of the Yahshua, therefore, is to implicitly trust him without the reservation. And where does he expect us to be again? He wants us to begin with the thing that troubles us most, and that is the temporal things of tomorrow. He wants us to learn that we cannot serve self and Yahweh too. Matthew 6:24-26. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold unto the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they ain't neither, they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? These are three verses plainly say that to live, to make a living, and to worry how you are to fare tomorrow is nothing less than serving mammon, self, that you cannot serve self and Yahweh at the same time. That if you serve Yahweh, you should be as free from the worry of the future as are the birds. Yes, you should be even more confident of His care, for you are worth more than are the birds. You are wholeheartedly to know that so long as you serve Him, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for the thirst, I the Yahshua will hear them. I the Yahshua of Israel will not forsake them. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her second child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget you, yet will I not forget thee. Matthew 6:27-34. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his structure or his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow, for it will take care of itself. Why cross bridges before you come to them. Why worry how you are to fill up your stomachs and with what you are to cover your bodies tomorrow? If they are cared for this day, why worry about your own needs? Why not worry how to advance the kingdom of the Yahweh? Advance the kingdom of Yahweh, putting in overtime to make tents or cobble, it says slabs for a living. It's all right if you do not say, I will do this and the other and get money to buy and build this or that. You should instead say, if Yahweh permits, I will do this or that, so that I may get here or get there, do this and the other, for the advancement of his cause. Whatever the aim behind your act, it must be for the advancement of his kingdom. Why not make your chief interest his business? Why not make the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, so that all these things be added unto you? Why work to feed yourself? Why not work for the Yahweh and let him feed and clothe you? He is far more capable of providing for you than you will ever be. Why not let him take charge of your work, of your home, of your body? While you do his bidding, he will never fail you. Why not do this and be altogether apostolic and typical apostolic believers? Why be a believer in the name, but a Gentile in the heart and faith? Work no longer for self. Work for the other and be free of worry. Free of having to make your own living in your own way. For the fishermen of the Galilee were fishing in their own way failed, but when they cast the net where Yahshua said they should cast it, it was instantly filled with the fish. Know first that the Yahweh is not interested in your selfish business, but in you and his saving business. There is therefore no need of you serving mammon, self, and at the same time expecting his blessing on mammon's interest. No man even in the world can work for that own interest and still expect his firm to promote him or keep him at any post of duty. No employer hires person because he wants his employees to make a living, but only because he wants his own business cared for. Know that Yahweh's business is of the greater importance and of the future reaching consequences than any man's business and that Yahweh is more particular than any man ever was or ever will be. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All remember that Yahweh has not called you unto your post of duty in order to feed you or to make you rich, but to save you and to save others through you. Therefore, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Father. Then and then only will He provide all these things, the things Yahweh sees fit to give. He will see that you earn your needs one way or another, nothing less than the faith of the Noah, of the Job, and of the Daniel will pay the bill. Brother, sister, because anything short of this is an insult unto the other. It is the same as for the calling him a deceiver. Doubt and the promises of Yahweh completely robs the doubter of all of Yahweh's blessings and promises. Only when you learn to trust him will he be unto you as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of the water, and a dry place as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This promise held good in the David's time, and it will hold good now. Psalms 4:5. Offer the sacrifices of the righteousness and put your trust in the Yahshua. By the personal experience, David knew the Father's faithfulness, having done all that was to be done in the serving Yahweh. He was confident that when the bear and the lion came to devour his lamb, Yahweh would deliver him if he did all he could to spare them. Moreover, believing that Yahweh had promised the kingdom unto him, there it is right here, promised the kingdom unto David. Now that's that kingdom that we represent right today, that we're a part of, that we've been put in charge of. Tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Yahshua, he has joined this kingdom that we are. That's what we're reading about him and his righteousness right now. And having been anointed to be king over Yahweh's people, David doubted nothing. Recognizing his duty, he fearlessly went after the giant Goliath, who was defying Yahweh and his people, or defying Yahweh and his kingdom. So King Saul had the kingdom of Yahweh. He's in charge of it. David come along and delivers King Saul's kingdom out of the hands of Goliath. And he was confident that the giant could not harm him. By the faith, he freed his people from the power of the giant. By the faith, now I want to put this again, whenever you use that word, by the faith in anything, you always put by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant goes real good there. So I'm going to back up and read. By the faith, he, and the blood of the everlasting covenant, he freed his people from the power of the John. By the faith, he overcame the lion and the bear and saved the lamb. By the faith, he knew that Saul could not take his life, nor deprive him of the throne. No, there is neither beast nor man that can take your life or cheat you of the promotion if you do Yahweh's bidding, if you know that we who keepeth Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers, Psalms 121, 2, 3, and 4. That he knows all about you, my friends, every moment of the day and of the night, that he takes notice even of the hairs that fall from your head. That whatever befalls you is but Yahweh's own will for you and for your own good. I say, if you know and believe that he is the Yahweh and the keeper of your bodies and souls, then regardless what befalls you, you will be happy in it and give Yahweh the credit for it, not murmuring, but to growing even in your trials and affliction. Isaiah 26:4. Trust you in the Yahweh forever. Let's do that again. Trust you in the Yahshua, the Son, forever. For in the Yahshua is the everlasting strength. How do you have that everlasting strength? It is the everlasting blood of the covenant that flows through his veins and flows through our veins when we become sanctified by it. If you wholeheartedly trust in the Yahweh, and if the world should fall into space and collide with the stars, you shall happily fly along with the Yahweh. Let us now turn to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, and see what the Paul knew by the experience about the Yahshua care over him. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we, the spirit even of life, that we had the sentence of the death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. But in Yahweh, which raises the dead. Paul learned by the personal experience that it is a future to trust and man. It is futile. So let's do that again. For the Paul learned by the personal experience that it is futile for the trusting in the man and self, but that it pays high to trust in the Yahweh, that he alone is able to protect and keep both body and soul. Psalms 127:1. Except the Yahshua build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Yahshua keep the city, the watchman awaiteth but in vain. Many of the Yahweh's faithful people had the same experience as the Paul. Time, however, will not permit me to speak of the more than a few when we enter into the belief which the Bible recommends. Then we are ready to enter into the experience which the Father wants us personally to be in, which after all counts most unto us. Let me first give you my own as a concrete example of what Yahweh does when we let Him. While running a small hotel in the middle west back in 1919, I became intensely interested in religion and providentially joined the Seventh-day Adventists. They were at the time meeting in a rented hall, not too attractive for a church, for the people appeared to be very poor, and aside from the preacher, I was the only one that was driving a car, and he had a worn-out Ford that I could not have given a dollar for it if I had to drive it. Imagine now what went through my mind. And you may know that I joined the church only for the truth that is saved. Indeed, I had no other encouragement. My hopes of getting rich someday became a nightmare of getting poor. Yes, the devil gave me as good a picture of poverty as he gave the Yeshua a picture of the glory of the kingdoms. I nevertheless resolved to stay by the truth I had learned regardless what happened. Then the same came that I sold the hotel and accidentally got into a grocery business, but after a time I found that I did not want to be in it, and I sold it at a loss. Then that dark and gloom picture of the coming poverty emerged itself a hundredfold, but I did my best to keep happy in the Yeshua. Sometime after I had disposed of the grocery store, I left the city, and 6 months later I landed in California. There I took sick, and after doing all I knew what to do, one of the retired Seventh-day Adventist ministers that lived in the same place where I was living said, "Let me take you to the Glendale Sanitarium, and I will recommend you as of a good and regular standing with the church, and they will give you good service and a lower rate too." When we got to the desk, and after the minister told me all he had to say, the sanitarium clerk asked me what kind of a deposit I could leave for admission. I said a check. He somewhat surprised me, for I had been in a hospital before, but was never asked to pay anything in advance. No, not even when I was dismissed. They sent me the bill by mail. When he saw that the check was drawn on an Illinois bank, I had to explain that I was somewhat new in the West and had not yet transferred my bank account. The clerk reluctantly took the check, and I was assigned unto a room, and politely told that I had to wait for the doctor until he should come around. I waited all that day, but not a soul came in. In the evening, as sick as I was, I put on my clothes and went for supper and to the dining room. Then I was told that the doctor was away, but he would see me just as soon as he came back. For 4 days that went on, and not a soul came into my room. I could have died, and no one would have known it until perhaps days a little after. I suppose they had to get the money from the bank and find out if my credit was good before they would give me service. Finally, on the fourth day, the sanitarium chaplain came with the apologies for his delay to see me. If I had known that you were a Seventh-day Adventist, he explained, I would have seen you sooner. I was not expecting him, though it did not make much difference with me. But I said to myself, if you did not know what I was, you should have come sooner. At last, the doctor came, and after a thorough examination, I was told that I was a very sick man and had to have a special day and night nurse to look after me and to give me the hydrotherapy treatment. With my consent, a student, a nurse came in, but when the shadows of the evening stretched over the day, the nurse told me that they were short of special nurses, and so he himself was to wait on me all through the night if I let him move his cot into my room. All the time I was there, though, he never once got up at night to wait on me. And thus I had a private day and a night nurse. And in the end, I was charged 50 cents an hour, $6 a day, for him to wait on me during the day time. And $6 nightly for sleeping with me in the room. This alone with the additional charges was a heavy drain on my already dwindling savings. And the picture of the growing broke and of staying poor grew larger and larger in my own mind, but I recovered from my illness and was thankful. For this sanitarium incident, though, produced another disappointing picture in my mind. Is that sanitarium Yahweh's place for his sick people? I asked myself, is this people really Yahweh's people? The answer that came to these questions was this: for the sanitarium is Yahweh's people, and the church is Yahweh. But the people that are running them are reactionaries. They are the modern priests, scribes, and Pharisees. That there is a need for more Samaritans among them. This is where Yahweh's truth is though. And Yahweh helping me, I said, I shall stay with it. Yes, Yahweh had helped me. I kept the faith, complained about nothing, and stayed in its Adventist Church with as good a record as any. After I left the hospital, however, I was weak and my bank account was almost depleted. It appeared to me, too, that there was nothing that I could get into with the Sabbath help that I would fail for the mercy of some charity or my health starved. Moreover, for the several months I had sent neither tithe nor my pledges of offering for the church in the Middle West. Consequently, I owed something like $75. I thought then that if I should fail to pay this debt now, while I had enough to pay it, I could never again get that much money together. And it would have to stay unpaid forever. Better get broke now, I said, and be free of debt than to get broke later and be a debtor forever. My bank account, I figured, was just a little over my debt. When I wrote a check for the whole balance and sent it to the church in the Middle West, I was left with $3.50 in my pocket and with no prospect of a job. Then I wrote to the bank in the Middle West that I was closing my account and that they should send the canceled checks and other papers to my address in California. At this point of my life, though, the table turned around as much as it turned with Abraham after he had done all but to stay a slave son Isaac on the altar of Yahweh. Just a few days after I had written to the bank, I heard from them, and to my great surprise, they had enclosed a check for about $350 as my final balance. I never discovered how it happened. In the meantime, I got a job in a washing machine agency, and just then, the Seventh-day Adventists were having a 1923 camp meeting in Los Angeles. And so I decided to attend and between meetings to try to sell Maytag washers in the neighborhood. And what do you suppose? I sold a washer a day and a new vacuum cleaners on the side. This went on all the while the camp lasted, and my first check from the company was about $425, but that was not all. And just then another surprise overtook me. Some years before, I had bought stock, which I had made up my mind was worthless, but to my surprise, I received a letter in which the corporation inquired if I would like to sell it back to them, and the price they offered was more than double the price which I had paid. Here I had a real experience of all of my own as promised in the Malachi 3:10. Moreover, this Maytag agency was new, and when I went to work for them, they had but a small place. At the while I worked for them, though, they prospered and grew as did Laban, while Jacob worked for him. In 3 years' time, they opened branch offices all over the vicinity of Los Angeles. And then erected a building of their own, which looked like a bank inside and out. One block deep and something like 60 feet wide. As to how their prosperity ended, I will tell you a little later. My unexpected success in selling washing machines was used as a boost pump to the other salesman, and the sales manager became very inquisitive about my religion. The last I talked with him, he said to Mr. Hollis, "It must be wonderful to believe as you do, but you know, I could never be a Seventh-day Adventist." I then asked why. He could not be in. He replied, "Because if I begin to keep the Sabbath as you do, I will lose my job." I said, "It is better to lose your job than to lose your life." And the conversation ended. But the event that the next time I went into the office, I saw a wreath hanging on the door, and everything seemed to be upset. Then I was told that Mr. Harney, the sales manager, had suddenly taken sick the night before and died early that morning. About that time, the head bookkeeper too became interested in discussing religion with me. As time went on, I discussed the same I had discussed with Mr. Harney, and at last he too said, "Harley, it must be wonderful to feel as you do, but I could never be a Seventh-day Adventist." I said, "Why?" "Oh, I could not keep the Sabbath and my job too," he replied. "Well," I said, "it is better to lose your job than to lose your life, my brother." And sure enough, the next time I went into the office, I found everybody talking instead of working. Then I was told that Mr. Barber, the head bookkeeper, was found dead that morning in his room. Believe it or not, but this is what happened with both men after they sold their convictions for the price of a job. This brings in about 50-hour contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song.
Whosoever will. Whosoever heareth, shout the song. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever men stand. Whosoever will come. Whosoever will. Send the proclamation over Bethlehem Hill. He's a loving father. As I wander home, this earth of love may come. Whosoever cometh, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter by ye may. Now shiver the truth, our only living way. This earth of love may come. Send the proclamation over Bethlehem Hill. There's a loving father, cause a wonder home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, our promise secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, his love forevermore. Father, who knows the wonder heart.